And I love that's what the Lord does. After he rises from the dead, he gives us the commission to go preach the gospel. And I'm still in the Easter spirit. I don't know about you. And I love that Frater Doreen, over the last few weeks, every Sunday has been saying Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christos Anviat. Christos Anesi. I don't know the response. But I love the Easter season. I love it because it's a time of remembrance for me. I don't know about you. Every time the Easter season comes around, in a sense, I'm urged to stop everything else around me, to focus on the Holy Week. I try to walk the way that Jesus walked, think the way that Jesus thought, feel what he felt over those last few days that he had before he died. Then he dies, and we're sad, but then on Sunday morning, he's resurrected, and we're excited. And I love what Jason Lukacs says. He says it to our youth all the time. Easter morning is like the Super Bowl for Christians. And your team is playing every time, and they never lose. Every Sunday morning on Easter, we win. Hallelujah. So as I was thinking about that, about remembrance, remembering the Lord's sacrifice, God put a passage on my heart, which I'm going to be sharing from tonight in Mark chapter 8. And it was this very thought, remembrance. Why is it important to remember? Why as Christians do we constantly have to remember what Jesus did for us? And how at times when we forget what Jesus did for us, that is the point where we start to neglect our faith. That is the point where we start to forget why we exist. That is the point we might start to fall in sin. We might be discouraged. We might have content. And the Lord put it on my heart to share a message about remembrance, because without remembrance, we forfeit all things. Without remembering the gospel, the simple gospel, I love it, Romans 10. Preaching the gospel of Christ, that Jesus came in a body, in a physical body. He is a visible image of the invisible God, Colossians chapter 1. And he died a criminal's death on the cross for us to have salvation. Amen. Many times we're praying, we're asking God for a spiritual breakthrough, a mental breakthrough, a physical breakthrough, maybe an emotional or even an ailment in our body that we're asking for breakthrough in. And maybe God speaks to us. Maybe he made some promises to you or promises to us. But when we forget those promises, that's when we bankrupt our faith. So I want to read a passage from Mark chapter 8. And just to give you a little bit of context, right before this, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus fed 5,000 people. And I'm sure you've heard this story. With a couple loaves of bread and a couple fish, he fed 5,000 men, not including women and children. Two chapters later, in Mark chapter 8, he does the same thing again. But this time he does it to 4,000. And actually, Jesus says in his own words, I can't send them away. I feel sorry for them. They traveled so far. We have to bless them. And Jesus feeds these people. And right after he feeds these 4,000 people, he gets into a boat to travel to the other side with his disciples. And as the disciples get into the boat, it's so funny. They start to argue that they only have one loaf of bread left. They just saw Jesus multiply for 4,000 people, have baskets left over. They get into the boat with the man that just did this, and they say, we only have one loaf of bread, and they start arguing. So this is where Jesus comes in. He comes in a little hot, and I love how he responds. So I'll be reading from Mark 8, verse 16 to 21. And he says this, they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? They said to him, 12. And when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? And I find that so funny. That Jesus starts talking to them, and you can sense that he's a little bit upset with them because they've walked with him all this time, and yet they still don't understand who is in the boat with them. They still don't understand that the miracle worker is right there next to them, and he can multiply bread at any given moment. Jesus wasn't mad at them that they were hungry. Jesus wasn't frustrated because they were looking for bread. Jesus was frustrated because they forgot that he was the bread. They were frustrated. Jesus was frustrated because they forgot that he is the one who is the miracle worker. They forgot who he was. And throughout Scripture, we see this repeating theme. Remember the Lord. Remember what he's done. Remember his power. Remember his deliverance. Remember all that he's done from cover to cover. It talks about remembering God's promises, God's goodness, God's deliverance, God's providence over and over. So tonight I want to talk about three main topics. How do we forget God's promises, or when do we forget God's promises? Number two, when do we remember God's promises? And number three, when does God remember his promises towards us? So number one, I'm going to give you an example of when we forget God's promises. We forget God's promises when we are in distress. We forget God's promises when we are living in abundance. And we forget God's promises when we're proud. Have you ever been in a situation where you were scared of the outcome and you forgot what God told you he was going to do? So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Moses is commissioning the people. He just gave them the Ten Commandments. He's commissioning them and getting them ready to come into the promised land that Jesus has been telling them, or God has been telling them about for the last 40 years and long before that. And he tells them this: you are going to get into the promised land, and when you get in, there are going to be some people that you must defeat who are occupied in that land. But do not be afraid, because I'm with you and I will conquer them. Simple. You've been wandering for 40 years. You're about to get there. God will fulfill what he said. And he gets to this point and they're saying, we're scared. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't think it's going to happen. But Moses tells them this in verse 17. Perhaps you will think to yourself, how can we ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? But don't be afraid of them. Just remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all the land of Egypt. Just remember the great terrors the Lord your God sent against them. You saw it with your own eyes. And just remember the miraculous signs and wonders that the strong and powerful arm with which he brought you out of Egypt. The Lord God will use this same power against all the people you fear. Three times in two verses, Moses tells them, remember. Because there's power in remembrance of the promises and the prophecies spoken over you. There's power in remembrance of the prayers that you uttered to the Lord and the voice that you heard back in your heart. There's power in that. And the enemy's goal is to get you to forget what the Lord spoke over you. Because if you forget what he spoke, and if you doubt what he spoke, then he steals your faith. And we see another example of this distress. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul commissions Timothy, go preach to Ephesus. teach sound doctrine, help them up. But we see that Timothy is scared. Timothy is worried. Timothy doesn't want to do the task. That's why Paul has to remind them over and over. Do not fear. God has given you a sound mind. He's given you wisdom. He's telling him all these things. But he says something specific in verse 18 of chapter 1. He says this to Timothy. He says, Timothy, based off of the prophetic word that was spoken over you, may it guard you in your faith to complete the work. I'm paraphrasing. But I will read it right here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battle and cling to your faith. Keep your conscience clear, for some people have deliberately violated their consciences. What he is telling him is, Timothy, remember what happened when the elders laid hands on you. Remember the prophetic word that spoke to you. Remember the word that came to you, that God will use you and encourage you and raise you up as a mighty man of God, that through these things you will prevail and succeed in your faith. For when you forget the prophetic word that is spoken over you, you will shipwreck your faith. Paul's reminding him, in your distress, Timothy, remember the prophecies spoken over you, for they will help you. Another example is when we live in abundance or when we are proud. Deuteronomy chapter 8, right after Moses gave that first testimony to them, he says this, and when you get to the land, be careful that you do not become proud and in your abundance forget the Lord. Because what? That's when we shipwreck our faith. So that's number one. We forget God's promises when we forget the prophetic word, when we forget what's spoken over us, when we are in distress, when we're living in abundance, or when we are proud. Number two, how do we remember God's promises? Or when do we remember God's promises? It's so simple. We remember God's promises when we read the word and when we pray. I don't know if you want a sophisticated answer. When I pray to God, he fills me. When Jesus stood in Gethsemane after the meal, his last thing that he did before he died was he prayed because he understood that it would build his faith. He understood that that's what he needed in that moment. When we read the word, how did Jesus respond in Matthew chapter 4 when he was led into temptation? It is written, it is written, it is written. The word of God encouraged his faith so that when the enemy came against him, he was able to stand victorious against the enemy. Church, some of you need to hear this. When the enemy comes to you to steal, to kill, and to destroy, to steal the prophetic word spoken over you and your family, read the word. Proclaim the word. When he lies to you to tell you are no longer a child of God, that there's no plan for your life, that you are the same person that you were when you died in your sin, that person's going to keep coming up. No. 2 Corinthians 5 says, all those who are in Christ are a new creation. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, all those in Christ, there's no condemnation for them. You have to fight with the word. And number two, we remember God's promises for our life by reminding God of what he said. God doesn't get upset when we remind him, and I'll show you biblically. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. It's one of the most beautiful prayers made in the Bible by King Solomon. He's dedicating the temple to the Lord, and he makes this declaration or a prayer to God. And he starts off with this, and I love how he says it in verse 14 going down. Solomon prayed, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in all of heaven and earth. You kept your covenant, and you show unfailing love to all who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. And this is where he starts to remind God, you have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. You made the promise with your own mouth and with your own hands, and you will fulfill it today. And now, O Lord, God of Israel, carry out the additional promises that you made to your servant David, my father. For you said to him, again reminding the Lord, if your descendants guard their behavior and faithfully follow my law as you have done, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. Now, O Lord, God of Israel, fulfill the promise to your servant David. And he says in verse 19, and this is how he finishes, nevertheless, listen to my prayers and my plea. O Lord, my God, hear the cry I'm making to you. So not just the word and prayer, but in your prayer, remind God what he spoke over you. Remind God the promises that he declared over your family. Remind God the promises that he made over your future. God, you gave me this word at one point. I'm going to keep it. And I will remind you because it doesn't just touch your heart, but it builds my faith. It builds my faith when I remind the God that answers all prayers that are according to his will. We have to remember the prophecies previously spoken over us. And you can do this even when you ask the Lord for something. 11 years ago, I was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit here. Hallelujah. And my friend Johnny came up to me, Johnny Franchuk. And I wasn't living a perfect life with the Lord, but he came. He's like, man, I can't believe it. I came to prayer, and God filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I had such a jealousy inside of me when I heard this. And I said, God, you filled him? If you filled him, you can fill me. If you worked in him, you can work in me. If you gave him your spirit, you can give it to me. So the next day there was prayer again, and I fasted that day, and I said, God, I'm chasing you down, and I want your blessing, like Jacob. I reminded God of what he did to Johnny. And then Frater Lazar and the pastors were in the youth room. They said, if anyone wants to come forward and pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, before he finished, I ran up, and I just got down on my knees. God wants to see your dedication to the promises. God wants to see your dedication to the prophecy spoken over you. And I reminded God what he did in my friend's life because I wanted that same blessing, and God filled me that night with the Holy Spirit. God gave me this thought to share this when I was sitting down. Last month was 5 years since I rededicated my life to the Lord. It's been 5 years I've been filled with joy, filled with power, filled with strength, filled with peace. I was saved on March 20th, 2016. And on November 12th, 2015, 5 months before that, I was with a friend of mine. We were both living in the world. And his aunt from Australia says, hey, your friend that you're with right now, I have a word for him. Give it to him. He's like, dude, I don't know. My aunt has this for you. You do what you want with it. This is what the Lord says to Andrew through the Holy Spirit. The evil one troubles him with so many things. But the time is coming when the Lord will break all evil ties. He will be set free. He will be healed and he will have peace. And he will be able to sing the song of victory. I was chained. I was bound to the world. I don't think you understand. I was bound to sin. And when I read that, I laughed. Like Sarah laughed when God promised her that she'll be pregnant. I laughed. I said, there's no way. You don't understand how far I'm gone. You don't understand how hard it's going to be back. And 5 months later, after I gave my life to the Lord, I remembered the prophecy that was spoken over me. And I held it as a banner, Nisi. The Lord is my victory. The Lord is my banner. And the prayers that my parents made day and night was answered and fulfilled. And I'm sure mom can testify this too. I would come home in the middle of the night, and I would have these notes on my closet. Prayer, 3:30 in the morning. God promises to save. God promises to redeem. God promises so-and-so. And I would get so upset when I saw these verses on my wall, but I never threw them away. Something in me told me to keep them. And Mom, I still have those. But only Mom knows that she was on her knees while I was parting and throwing away all my stuff to the swine. But the prophetic word that was spoken to her in the middle of the night was yes and amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20, the promises of God are yes and amen. That which he has spoken, no man can change. That which he has spoken, no man can change. Amen? You have to hold on to the prophetic words that are spoken over you. Someone really needed to hear that tonight. Someone needed to go back and listen to the recordings. Someone needs to go back and reread the writings that they wrote down when God gave them a prophetic word, that with you letting those go, you are shipwrecking your faith. Read them and believe them. Read them and believe them daily to encourage your faith in the Lord. Peter was one man that walked with the Lord and saw him do mighty things daily. Daily. And in Matthew 17, he gets to a mountain with a couple of his friends, and something crazy happens. Moses and Elijah shows up. Jesus' face gets white as snow. A cloud from heaven comes down that's white and blinding them. They fall with their face to the ground. And then they hear the voice of the Lord say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And they were so terrified, and Jesus said, "You don't tell anyone until I resurrect." They had this encounter with God. And then he goes on to say this in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 16, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' And we ourselves heard the utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." So he's reminding the people, "I experienced God. I had a moment in my life where I encountered the living presence and power of God. I saw with my eyes that God is real." He had an experience. Then he goes on to say this. "So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in the dark place." And then verse 20. "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." What Peter is saying is, I had an experience with God. And because I had this experience with God, it confirms the Bible even more. Your experiences with God proves that the Bible is real. When God intervenes in your life and he answers in miraculous ways, the words that are spoken about him come to life even more. Peter is saying, I encountered God myself, but now the words spoken in here, I believe even more because I saw him with my own eyes. I saw the majesty that he carried on the mountain. Some of us need to have experiences with God. Some of us tonight haven't had an experience with God in a long time. And you're asking God for an encounter with him, to see him. Maybe not visibly, but to hear him. Maybe not audibly, but to feel him. Our encounters with God are not a bad thing. I seek him and him alone. When he shows up, great. If I don't have an encounter with him, great. The Bible still stands. But when he does, it makes the Bible even stronger. Third point, God remembers his promise to us, or his prophetic words to us, when we humble ourselves, pray, repent, and seek his face. I told you earlier, I was lost. I was gone in the world. I was far from God. I had no peace. But there was a moment in my life where I didn't care anymore. There was a moment in my life where I said, I don't care who's watching. I don't care who hears me. I don't care who sees me. I'm desperate. There's a moment where I hit my knees on the floor. I raised my hands to heaven. I said, God, you are a merciful God. And if you are a God of love and you actually care for me, save me and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. That's humility. We saw the example earlier in 2 Chronicles where he's dedicating the temple to the Lord. And he dedicates the temple to the Lord. And right after that, the Lord responds. That's one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. I had the experience with God where I fell to my knees and I repented. And I had a moment where he answered. This 5 years is a testimony of the answer. And now it proves the word even more. That if I follow what's said in here, and if I believe it, it will happen. Some of you might think, well, I've never had a prophetic word. I've never had anyone speak on behalf of God into my life. Every person has had a prophetic word. But in order to have this encounter with God, in order for him to respond to the promises, you must do two things. Number one, you have to ask. You cannot have an encounter with God without asking. You cannot have a moment where you hear from the Lord without seeking him. James 4, 2-3 says, you have not because you ask not. And even when you ask, you're corrupt in the way you're asking. So you're not going to get it. But if you're honest about it and you're seeking him diligently, he will show himself to you. Jeremiah 29, 13. We all know the passage right before, but I love 13 even more. If you seek him wholeheartedly, you will find him. This doesn't mean a microwave relationship with the Lord. I don't get on my knees while a burrito's cooking in the microwave and then I get up. I spend time. I spend energy. I spend effort with him and I don't leave until he responds. Have you gotten to that type of desperation with the Lord? I was listening to Paul Washer this week and he said something I loved. He said, when it comes to walking with the Lord, many of us make excuses that we're too weak. He says, the problem is not our weakness. He says, the problem is that we don't understand how weak we are. We make excuses that we're weak, that we can't pray, we can't read, we can't stay in his presence long enough. I keep falling. He says, if you understood how weak you are, your knees would hit the ground and you would cry out, Abba, I need you. I need your presence. I can't even get off this stage. I could die as I walk off this stage. I can die on my way home. I cannot do anything in my own power. I need an encounter, the personal presence of the Holy Spirit to dwell in me, to fill me, to speak to me, to encourage me. God, I am desperate for you. Man, I don't know if someone needed to hear that tonight. And second, in order to receive the promises of God, you have to believe what the Bible says. You have to believe what the Bible says. Just as I have faith like a child to believe in a God that I can't see, in that same aspect of faith, I take this and I say, God, I don't understand it all. I can't interpret it all. There's passages that make no sense to me, but I choose to say every word from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. and I will believe it, and I will acknowledge it and receive it unto myself. You've never had a prophetic word? Open the Bible. You are a new creation in Christ. There is no condemnation in you. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that lives inside of you than he that is of the world. 1 John chapter 1, if you turn from your evil ways, if you confess it, God is faithful and just to forgive you. If you put your faith in him, he will save you. Romans chapter 10, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are promises that are prophesied to each and every Christian, every person who believes in the gospel of Christ. If you've never had an encounter, ask God for it. And until you get it, believe this. This is your encounter. And then when he encounters you, believe it even more because it confirms it. He encounters you, it confirms it. It encounters you, he confirms it. And then the verses you read are like, whoa, it makes sense because I just experienced it. And when you experience it, you believe the Bible. Then you read the Bible and then you have an experience. And it's hand in hand. It's a beautiful thing. And there's nothing wrong with asking God for an experience. Youth, ask God for an experience, for it will change your life. Parents, pray that your children have an encounter with God. The only reason I stand here today is because I had an encounter with God. Because when I cried out to God, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, he answered. And when he answered, I said, okay, then the Bible's true. And if it's true, then I'm going to believe all of it. And if I believe all of it, I'm going to seek it. And I'm going to keep seeking God. And let me just give you one last testimony that I'm going to finish with. I'm praying last night, and I'm getting ready for this message. And anyone who's ever walked with the Lord knows that sometimes you kind of just have to go by faith. He doesn't always write things out for you and hand it to you and tell you what to do. I said, Lord, I believe you put on my heart a message, a prophetic word to encourage the church to remember the words spoken over them, to remember the words, confirm it. It's 11 p.m. at night. I just finished my message. And I'm scheduled to play guitar this morning. So I go online. It's an app that we use as a worship team to see what songs and what chords we're going to be using that night. And I see a song there. I see a song there that was sung by the choir, and I had no idea what song it was. I was like, let me look at this. Everything he said in his word, he will do it for you. You think God is fake? Keep reading. Because these encounters make me go back to the Bible and believe it even more. Every prophecy he gave you, every promise he made, he will do it for you. He will work things out. He will do it for you. He will do it for you. Yes, he will do it for you, for my God will do it for you. Everything he said in his word, he will do it for you. Every prophecy he gave, every promise he made, he will do it. He will do it. Everything he said, he will do it.